Beautiful.
All right, I'm ready to get started. Everyone, just keep on eating, get your food, and we'll get going here. Psalm 78, verses 4 to 7 says this. We will not hide them from our children, but tell them to the coming generation. Tell the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders of what he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments. So we have a room here filled with people from very young to very old. And if not very old, then at least gently used. Is that the phrase? Dick gets a little upset if I say he's old. I got him shake his head over there. Gently used. Gently used. Dick, you're okay. Here we are all together, but are we really? Together, I mean. Of course we are together, that's plain enough to see, but are we together? We have deeply ingrained habits of being with people who are like us. We might be connected by a particular friendship or a hobby, similarities and age, whatever. Those are fine relationships. You're probably sitting with people that you have natural and easy connections to. That's good. But in the church, we are to be especially mindful and deliberate about building relationships that are connected, not by those other things, but by faith. Faith should be the connector, because look what happens. If I'm connected to this room by my hobbies, I can probably relate very well to maybe about 10 of you. I say I want to buy a new acoustic guitar, and I'm thinking Martin, Gibson, Taylor, or Collins. What should it be? And I've lost most of you. See, I don't connect with Jordy and all. What was the answer back there? Taylor. All right, okay. See, there's a few that know. Or if I would say my favorite tap dancer from yesteryear is Jimmy Slide. That's a true statement, actually. I will have lost most of you. Jimmy Slide, look him up, he's awesome. But when I am connected to people by faith, then I can relate to almost every one of you, from young to old. Because the connection is faith that we share. That's the connection that we're after. That's what we're looking for. The Bible says that those of us who are gently used, we're to reach out deliberately to the younger people, and we're supposed to tell them of our God. Tell them what God has done in our life. We are to teach the young people about who God is. We're supposed to tell them of how he has shown himself to us. But we so often don't. We keep our heartaches and our heartbreaks, our struggles and our triumphs all to ourselves because, well, quite frankly, life is messy, isn't it? It can be hard to share those stories. It's messy. And so our young people end up having no idea who we are. To them, we can seem boring. And they don't always want to be with us. And why should they? We are boring. Sometimes. When we don't tell them of our God and of our adventures with him, imagine my surprise, I think it was a year ago, I heard one of our elderly saints here could remember a time when she lived in Russia under Joseph Stalin. And after that, she went to a Hitler Youth rally in Germany. And she said there was something wrong about that man. I could not trust Mr. Hitler. And all these years, I had known her as this dear, quiet lady who sat in the back. What a story she had. And the Bible tells us that we need to be telling the young people our stories. And we're supposed to tell them so that they will have hope. Those verses that we read, so that they should set their hope in God. The faith of the fathers is to be passed down from one generation to the next. We've been given the task of raising up the next generation of men and of women. And you don't do that by sending the young people off to be by themselves. That's not how it's done. So as we embark on a new ministry and we want to talk about biblical manhood and biblical womanhood, we want to talk about discipleship and raising up the next generation. Our young people should actually love spending time with those who are older. So on that note, let me tell you a story. And I'm going to tell you this story not because everything in it is perfect. It isn't. It's messy. And you will know why very quickly. But I tell it to you so that you will have hope. So that you will not give up when you find trials of your own. From one generation to the next, let the stories be told of the faithfulness of our God so that faith can grow. Late 2019, COVID hit. Something none of us had ever had to deal with before. And as elders, well, quite frankly, we didn't know what to do. None of us had dealt with anything like this before. We were confused, we were concerned, and we felt the tension immediately. The government was telling us to close our doors, but we did not see scripturally how we could do that and still be faithful. We had a problem. The whole thing seemed so serious, so we went online for a little while, for a number of weeks, feeling rather uneasy about it. And we started to get together to pray, as did others. And as we prayed, this adventure began over the next 2 years. And truth be told, we struggled like crazy. It was messy. It was very messy. Week to week, not knowing what to do, how to navigate waters like this, we were all over the place. The restrictions changed over and again. Some people were struggling, some were hurting, some people were angry. Everybody had an opinion. We kept going back to the scriptures to see what they said. And we read that we needed to gather the people and worship God. We read that people needed to be shepherded towards God, that the life of the church was most needed in times of crisis. If anything, God sends times of difficulty to open church doors, not close them. We read that worship was more important than life itself, that the prayers of the saints mattered. And to put it mildly, things got complicated. Not everyone saw it that way, of course. Many different opinions about what was best, the way to move forward. And I can't tell you how many times we got together saying, this is beyond us. We don't have what it takes, guys. We don't know what to do. All we could see was failure. And yet we had to make decisions. So there were sleepless nights, there were some tears, heavy burdens, dreading to look at the news in the morning. Every news conference at 12:30, I told myself I wouldn't watch. And every news conference at 12:30, I watched. Man, that was hard. We didn't know how to do it. So in great weakness, we did the one thing that we could do. We prayed. So many people prayed. And we did it together. Earlier on, it was secret with just a few. We weren't allowed to gather. Tuesday afternoons, 4:30 to 5:30, every week the elders met to pray for an hour. We met to pray. Wednesday mornings, there was a group of men that met here in the gym to pray. We weren't allowed to, according to the restrictions. One or two guys would sometimes park on the Solomon's parking lot. One guy would park on the street. Someone would park here in the parking lot for the church. We'd lock the door because we weren't allowed, and we didn't want anyone to know that we were here. And there were some that prayed here. I know of one guy who has a room on top of his garage, a bonus room, a loft. On Friday mornings, there would be a few who would gather there, just two or three. Sing a psalm or two. Pray for an hour, 6 to 7 in the morning. Those guys would park on the street, come through the back gate, Again, we weren't allowed because of the restrictions to meet. And people were finding ways. These are only a few that I know of. You all could fill me in on a whole lot more of your own stories. Then there was a few who met for a little while in the library here, Sunday afternoons. If you go to the library here in the church, you're going to see on the wall a picture. It's like of the woods or something. There's a boardwalk. I don't know. That thing was up against the window for a long time. That was to keep people from looking in because we weren't allowed to meet here. And so there were a few that came. They closed off the windows and they prayed in the library. I heard stories of a lot of you inviting people to your home when it wasn't allowed and said, come and park in my garage. I'll park my car in the driveway. You park in the garage so no one will know. And you prayed. Then there was a group that started to meet at someone's house out in the country that grew. I was a part of that group. There was 80-some people there at its peak or more. Then there was a group that started to meet here in the gym. And they were meeting here in the gym because there's no windows. You could close everything off and no one could see outside that there was a room full of people in here praying. And people found ways to pray. All kinds of ways. In our homes, in secret, different areas. Young and old, people found ways to pray. Alone, together, as couples, as families. Sometimes as little as two or three, but there Jesus was among them. And I want to tell you a little bit more about what God did through those prayers, because those who prayed are not the heroes of the story. We stumbled all over the place these past 2 years, didn't we? God is the hero. I want to give you just a sample of what he did for us in our weakness. There are more stories here that I won't share. Probably a little sensitive and controversial. Maybe one day the full story can be told. But I'll share some. Every Sunday there was the reality that we could be caught meeting here when we met against the restrictions. Some of you may recall when we met in the parking lot, we were kind of following restrictions. We weren't enforcing hard. People driving by every week and taking pictures of our gatherings. A lot of those pictures went to the police station. People were reporting us. One Sunday morning, the phone was ringing here, and I answered. And one person on the line said, "We know what you're doing. I call the cops every week. I want them to come and shut you down. I want you to be fined." Every week, the cops get a phone call from me because I know what you're doing. Our Sunday mornings were certainly not in secret. Everybody knew what we were doing. We didn't try to make any fanfare out of it. But people knew. The police knew. The neighbors knew. Every week we were exposed. Every week we felt that, is this the week? Is this the week when someone's going to come and shut us down or fine us? Like, what's going to happen? Every Sunday morning I was nervous. I was. And not once were we interfered with. Not once. Nor was there a single week, to my knowledge, where there were not meetings for prayer, where people were praying for protection for Sunday mornings. Always praying for the Sunday morning gathering, week in and week out. We gathered, God guarded. However imperfectly we did it, we gathered, and God guarded. That place in the country where we met with that large group. Some of you know this story. There was a large group there. Sunday evening, me and my family were headed there. There was a couple. It was their first time. They were following us. And we were heading out there. And as I got close, someone in a big black truck pulled in front and just drove really slow. He just slowed everything down. I was thinking, is this guy one of us? Is he coming to the prayer meeting? Or what is this guy doing? And he drove very slowly all the way to the place where we were headed. He drove past the driveway, and at that time you weren't allowed to have, I think one family you could have over, maybe, I'm not sure. And right when that person was there was three different cars from us that were pulling onto the driveway, and I saw him hit the brakes, and he was looking. We pulled up on the driveway, and I thought, man, this doesn't look good. I went in the house, I looked out the window to see, maybe he's going to come up the driveway, maybe he is one of us, maybe he just didn't know the place. He didn't come. So I mentioned it to some of the guys. I said, hey, there was this guy in a big black truck. And Cam piped up and said, that guy was here last week. Last week, after prayer, he was parked at the end of the driveway. I saw this big black truck. We thought, oh, that's not good. Not at all. As we were talking, a text came in from one of our guys and said, hey, I'm about a mile from the house. There's a big black truck on the side of the road taking pictures of everybody driving by, getting license plates and faces. And we thought, ah, we're caught, right? And so we scattered that night. We said a quick prayer, sent everybody home. We all took off. And sure enough, a while later, the cops showed up at that house. It was Super Bowl Sunday. They thought there was a party. Everybody was gone by that time. And we were guarded yet again. There was one of our pastors who was smuggled in, if you will, to an old folks' home. One of our ladies was on her deathbed. No one was allowed to see her. No one could come in because of the restrictions. And the family called and said, hey, if you come to the back door, 6 o'clock sharp, someone will be there to open the door. If you could come. One of the pastors here showed up at 6 o'clock. The door was opened in the back. That man was able to minister to her. It's the last pastoral visit she had. She died 2 or 3 days later. But she was alone. And God guarded. One time we had a health official show up here during the week to chat with Eric and I. We had a good talk. He moved on. It's the last we heard from him. God was still guarding. Most of you know that we did the funeral for Dennis Plett on Saturday. That thing got big really quickly. When we were asked to do the funeral, it was just a funeral. And after we said yes, suddenly there was a convoy and a protest and there was all kinds of things going on. We hadn't intended any of that. And it was Thursday or Friday, the RCMP called the church here. They were asking for me because I was the minister at the funeral. They said, can we come and talk to Pastor Chad? So I said, yeah, just come. I wonder what would have happened if I had said no. No, thank you. Click. I thought of it for one brief second. No, we're good. No, I said, just come. It's good. So they came. We had a lovely chat with two officers. And the funeral director had told them the funeral was happening here. He said that no one's going to be wearing masks. Like, it's going to be against the rules. He just told the cops flat out, this is what's going to be happening. And the cops said, you know what, we're not concerned. We don't want to come in here. We're not coming in unless you need us, unless you're inviting us. They gave me their phone number and said, if you need anything, call us. We'll be in the neighborhood. But otherwise, we're not coming in. And then they kind of said with a smile, besides, this isn't the first time you guys have had services here against the rules. And I said, yes, thank you for not coming in for these past 2 years. We've really appreciated your support. And we had a good laugh over it. The funeral director, I spoke with him, and he had said over the past couple of years, there were a number of times when different authorities were banging on the front door of his funeral home during a funeral because there was too many people in there, and he actually locked the doors against the officials and said, I'll talk to you after, you can't interrupt a funeral. He said he got calls on his way to cemeteries. They would be calling and saying, hey, giving him a hard time. And he said it was really, really hard, and yet here at Cornerstone, we weren't bothered. And yet everyone knew what we were doing. We gathered, and God guarded. God protected us in our private meetings and in our public meetings. And as I said earlier, those are just a few stories. There's a few others. Maybe one day we'll be able to tell the full story. But through it all, God has guarded his flock, and he has shepherded us to green pastures and still waters. A few of our people left, finding it very hard. And it was so hard to see them go. Other people came. Many of you here tonight have come in just in the past 2 years. And we love it that you are here. And we didn't want to draw attention. We just wanted to do our best to obey Scripture as best as we understood it. We wanted to gather the church, put no man-made rule on the same level as the worship of God. It was never about the masks, even though it sure felt like it was sometimes, right? We gathered and God guarded. When we were outside, sometimes it was minus 30. Eric in the back of the truck preaching in minus 30. A lot of you in your cars listening on the radio, trying to stay warm. We gathered in plus 30 out there, everyone trying to find some shade. I was invited to preach at a secret church gathering out in the country on a farmyard one Sunday. And I pulled up on the farmyard, they gave me directions, and there was nobody there. There was one little boy playing on a swing or something. And I'm like, did I get to the right place? Or like, it's almost time. And all of a sudden I saw him, he looked up and he kind of pointed to the side to me. He pointed back, he pointed behind me. Okay, so I turned around and I started to drive off the driveway, but there's nobody there either, obviously. And I see him in my rearview mirror, and he's pointing now to the side. I look to the side, and there's all this farm machinery sitting off to the side, and he's pointing at the farm machinery. So I turned, I started to drive there, and as I got to the farm machinery, they had been set up so that there was a little maze that you could drive your car through. You couldn't see it. You had to turn sharp this way, turn sharp that way, turn sharp that way, come out on the other end, and there was 50 cars and people all over the place. They had set up some bales that I could jump on and preach. And it was amazing. We were indoors, we were outdoors, in secret and in public. And all the while, the prayers continued. And all the while, God guarded, even as we stumbled around, even as we didn't always agree with one another on what was best. And I'm not trying to defend every decision that we made. That would be a losing endeavor, let me tell you. We are well aware that we didn't always get it right. But I'm telling you the story because I want to testify to this today. That no matter what we did right or what we got wrong, that God has been the shepherd of this church through it all. He has been faithful. He has heard our prayers. He has had mercy on us in our weaknesses. And he has held this body together in a way that could only have been done by his Spirit. We come out of this season with many questions, absolutely. But one question has been answered. God hears the prayers of his people. We must never give up praying and trusting in him. So young people and old, hear the great deeds of our God. We're here today because of him. And I can tell you with full assurance, you can trust him. No matter what happens, there is hope. Never give up. There is always hope. Never stop praying, never stop trusting, never, never, never. There's all kinds of adventures in this world waiting for you. But our God is able to lead us through them all. And that's true if things go well or if things don't. God has shown us these past 2 years his ability and willingness to protect us through all of it. Next time he might not. Next time we might get caught. Such a thing happen again. The older generation is to tell the younger generation of the great deeds of our God so that they will have hope. And so we say, young people, pick up the torch. You are being called. You are being called to rise up as a generation of faith, ready to show courage, steadfastness, and faithfulness in trials of your own. We didn't get everything right these past 2 years, and neither will you. But we have learned to trust in our God, and so we say there is hope. There is always hope. And as a matter of fact, the story that I'm telling you is not yet quite done, is it? Next Wednesday, Lord willing, will be the first time in 2 years that there should be no restrictions at all. We're not quite there yet. Even tonight, we're not totally out of it, are we? So as we anticipate that, I want to bring all of you here and now into this story, that we can walk these final miles together in prayer. If you've not been a part of this story, then tonight's the night you get to join in, because it's not just a story. This is our life. It's our church. And we live it to the glory of God. He is our rescuer. And no matter what has happened all these past 2 years, God is on his throne. He deserves our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving. He deserves our hearts. And just as importantly, we don't often hear this, he deserves our petitions. For there is no other God who answers. There is no other. And he is glorified in answering us. He deserves the honor of our petitions. And he is glorified as he answers them. And so here we gather again right now to bring our requests and our thanksgiving to him as we have done these past 2 years in many ways. In your homes, with others, in season and out, outside and in. Each one of you has your own story you could tell. We are his people and we live to glorify him in all that we do. As imperfectly as we have walked these past 2 years. As elders, we love you so much. And so as we pray again, Lord willing, as we near the end of these restrictions, let's do it together. I'd like to ask you to stand, please. And as we pray, know this, that in this moment, young and old, we're standing here together before our God, one generation to the next. May God fill our years with this togetherness as we move forward in this church. All together, all for Christ, for always. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. Lord, as we recount just briefly these past 2 years, your work in us. Oh, Father, the trials and the heartaches, the confusions, the long conversations, the wrestling, the disagreements, the discouragements, all of it, Lord, what a journey it has been, and here we are. Oh, Lord, we return thanksgiving and praise for each one that is here tonight, for each journey that each one has gone on, and the journeys that we will continue. Lord, would you knit this body together in love, that there would be healing where it is needed, that there would be reconciliation where it is needed, repentance and forgiveness where it is needed, where love would cover over a multitude of sins. Father, that we would come out of this having met with our God, being bold to tell the next generation of your mighty deeds, even in our little story here. Lord, you have shown yourself faithful. You are our God. And Lord, we continue to pray for freedom. We continue to pray that you would restore us to full freedom, that we may gather and worship freely. And Lord, as we have done so many times, we pray again for this Sunday gathering, that you would protect us, that you would guard us, that your Spirit would be poured out upon us, that you would keep us free from distraction, from interference. Lord, that we would love one another. And as we anticipate moving forward, Lord, may we not forget. May we not forget our God. But may we be strengthened in you as we carry one another's burdens and as we walk together, Lord, we return praise and thanksgiving. Together as a body, Lord, we are here before you and we acknowledge you. You are good. You are our good shepherd. And we give you thanks for all things. Lord, would you continue to guard and to guide your people here at Cornerstone? And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.